Welcome to this episode of the Soul Frequency Show. I'm Shauna Ekedahl, modern day woman living a mystical life. And I'm so happy that some of you are joining me for the frequency cleanse. If you missed the last episode, holistic health is where my reawakening happened in my adulthood. It's amazing what happens when you start to clean out your body and your mind and start experiencing energy at new levels. It just totally gives me goosebumps thinking about the journey that I've been on in my own life and those that I've helped in this process. And I want to share all of it with you. So you can find out more about the Frequency Cleanse at thefrequencycleanse.com. Come and hang out, and I'm going to be doing some really cool live videos and a private Facebook page for those of you who want to join in on this experience. I can't wait to meet you and get to see you and interact in the private Facebook group. You're going to learn about the energy system of the body, how I plan meals, what foods to include, some foods you really want to make sure you avoid, how to create what you want with your energy, how to release limitations, which to me is one of the most important things to allowing yourself to raise your frequency. And you'll get tons of recipes and education on how the body cleanses safely, making it really simple for you. So you can think of it as a body healing and / awakening experience. So it's going to be awesome. You don't want to miss it. And I'm not sure I'm doing this again. So if you want to find out more, go to thefrequencycleanse.com. And this week, we are talking about something that is so, so important. We are talking about building self-esteem. I mean, seriously, is there any more important subject than this? It's like at the foundation of creating what you want. There must be self-esteem. So this one's a pretty important subject, and there's no one better to talk about it than my guest today, supermodel and media personality, Clarissa Burt. After working in the world of high fashion modeling, she has many words of wisdom to share about building true self-esteem from the inside out. On today's episode, Clarissa talks about empowering women to love themselves, the four pillars of self-esteem, and how to stop taking on the negative energy of others. So with no further ado, the phenomenal Clarissa Burt. Hey, Clarissa, so happy to have you on the show.
Thank you. So good to be back, on your show. I mean, we did a show about a couple of months ago, and it was the first time we'd ever really met. We've become fast friends ever since then. So
We have. It was really cool. I actually came out to visit you, and we talked well into the night. And it's just cool when you meet people and you immediately connect. And I think it's funny. I receive emails on the show, and they say, I feel like I know you in ways.
Well, you're so darn easy. I mean, you're just so happy and up all the time. How could somebody not love you?
You're so sweet.
Thank you. Truth.
So are you. I mean, that's why I'm totally connected. But I'm super excited to talk about self-esteem, which we're going to focus on talking about today, because that's a subject, right? Yeah. That's an important subject. And so why don't you just share a little bit about why this called to you and why you wanted to do some work around this?
Well, you know, first of all, I watched them, you know, as a young girl, the women in my life and the lack of self-esteem, you know, thereof. And it was very apparent early on that, you know, there were some things that just really were off. They weren't right. They were out of whack. And, you know, they just, you know, everything was very superficial in the way you looked and how much you weighed. And it was not, you know, kind of the kind of thing that you really wanted to hear when you were that age. You know, I mean, my grandmother almost died choking on diet pills. You know, she perforated her esophagus and wound up in the hospital for 6 weeks. And it was just always one of those kind of things that, you know, in a household much like mine, where it was, and let's just say not a very happy household. You know, there's a lot of violence going on and a lot of, you know, a lot of just nastiness going on in that house. And so, you know, it was pretty darn clear very early on that, you know, if I had had my druthers and I had been my mother, I would have gotten up and left a long time ago. But, you know, back in the early, in the 50s and the 60s, it wasn't that easy to just get up and leave. And certainly my mother being a mother, a Roman Catholic, that, you know, that wasn't going to happen. I mean, she went 12 years to the nun. sons and graduated when she was 18 years old. And by the time she was 19, I was born. So, you know, just one of those kind of home life situations where you just sat back and watched the violence going on. And it was brutal, for the three children that lived, you know, in this sort of, you know, war zone. And, just unpleasant. It's really hard. And in that kind of environment, there's very little to support and sustain you. You're really more in survival mode, and fight or flight. And so there's not a lot of, you know, there wasn't a lot of warm, nurturing, loving family, dynamic, you know, going on. So it was just really, you know, it was just really evident to me very early on that there were some issues, for sure, with self-esteem, with my role models and the women that I was looking up to. And so, you know, what happens? I mean, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And I found myself being, you know, sort of jetted out into the world with very little in the way of a good, solid, strong foundation. Now, I always did what I wanted to do, but I always lived in a lot of fear that I couldn't, because there really wasn't anybody telling me I could. There was no, here you go, there was no support system. My grandmother was a bit of a support system. I must say she was great. And my sister also was one of my greatest fans, but real true support. I need to talk to somebody and I need to, you know, I need a little bit of guidance. There really wasn't that much. Don't forget that, you know, a lot of these years after I had left, you know, home, I was living in Europe. And so I was halfway around the world. And these were the days when a long distance phone call cost a gajillion dollars.
Right.
There was no internet at all. I don't even think it had been thought of yet. And so there was no other way, real way of communication. So you really were out in the world by yourself with all of the sharks and with very little in the way of support and a good solid foundation. So, you know, look, I am not bitching, moaning and complaining. I'm just setting it up and letting you know that this is kind of why it was really important to me. Then I started to work as a model. I quickly became one of the top supermodels in the world back in the time. And so I was surrounded by just drop dead beautiful women. And we were, you know, the girls were really beautiful, but I would take a look around and see, even in some of the most beautiful women, that you think, wow, she really has it all. And she didn't really have it all at all, because she too lacked in good, solid, strong self-esteem, or self-confidence. And so it was very interesting for me to watch. Then I produced the Miss Universe pageant for 5 years. You know, I produced that for Italian television, and I was around even more girls, you know, younger girls as I grew older and wasn't in my modeling years anymore, but now I was producing. I kept seeing this same phenomenon. And it was very disheartening to me. So, you know, I did what I could do to help, you know, form these girls. I mean, they're already in their late teens, so that, you know, most of them are already pretty well formed. But in my pageant, it was the first non-smoking pageant, that Italy had ever seen, because you know how they smoke in Italy. Yeah. And so that was an anomaly. And so you couldn't smoke when you were there. Now, the only reason that was important to me is because I had just quit smoking, and I had smoked for 25 years. Okay. I also, you know, so that was like, okay, big deal. And then I had lost in the 80s, a lot of friends to AIDS. And it was quite the thing to be talking about in the 80s. But when I was producing the Miss Universe pageant in the 90s, it wasn't so sexy to talk about it anymore. It didn't mean the virus still wasn't out there and running rampant. It just meant nobody was talking about it anymore. So I brought on the AIDS Association, and we kept the message going, about safe sex. And that's when they wanted most important. Yeah, that's a self-esteem thing to say, excuse me, you know, would you mind taking precautions? I mean, a lot of women feel very funny about doing that. Well, that was important. And the other one we did was the Anorexia and Bulimia Association, you know, to underscore and underline the importance of nutritional eating and eating healthfully for your body. Because, you know, there's a lot of body dysmorphia in younger girls. So, you know, as I, and these are just some of it. And then you, you know, you've got, and that's part of it. And then you've got the things like we're seeing now coming out with the Weinstein stuff and everybody else that's coming out from under the woodwork about how not only women, but mostly women are treated by men. And most women, a lot of girls, they're scared, they acquiesce, they hold it in, they keep it to themselves and think that in order to get moved forward, these are the things that they have to do. Well, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to do that. And so there are many other ways of getting where you need to go. Might be a little bit of a longer road and it might be the road less traveled, but you're going to get there if you really want to get there. So, you know, these are some of the things. I've got a book coming out, I hope within the next 4 to 5 months. And I only say that because we're adding a workbook in to the project and it's called The Self-Esteem Regime. And so these are the four pillars that I find to be the most important, which are look good, because we all like to look good. Come on, Shanna, you know, right? We all like to look good. Feel good. Okay. Diet, exercise, nutrition. Be good. Your relationship, leadership, the roles that you take, who are you listening to, inspiration, motivation, where are you getting your information and how are you forming it? What's your formulation, you know, that you're creating around the information you're getting? And then the greater good piece, which is, you know, paying it forward, you know, tithing, volunteering and the like. So yeah, I think that, you know, if people say, what's like the first thing somebody can do to really just feel, do something good for somebody else. I mean, man, that is like an instant boost. I don't care if it's a smile and a good morning when you get onto an elevator. You say goodbye and have a good day when you get off that elevator. Some of the stuff that people can do is so little.
Yeah,
that makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, that's a good point because it's the fact of getting out of yourself, right? And giving of yourself to somebody else that really puts you in that moment. It always feels great to give, but then at that moment, you're not so worried. You know what I mean? Sometimes that brain of ours, right, is cycling.
Right.
With all kinds,
you know, people even want to poo-poo that and say, well, you know, that's just your ego because you just want to do something because it makes you feel good. Yeah, okay, but it made them feel good too, you know. So win-win, hello.
Right. And I love, you know, thank you for sharing your background and your story so in depth, because it does paint the picture that, you know, for a lot of us women, which we don't really self-identify sometimes, there's just been a lot of things that go on in a woman's life that can really either break down or be a factor that doesn't cause us to build self-esteem. And it starts at such a young age. And sometimes it starts like, you know, it did for you with the relationship, you know, watching your parents' relationship, watching, you know, your mother and some of the stuff that she was living through and choosing to stay through. Right. And I think we're in this, you mentioned Weinstein and stuff. We're in this powerful time where I think we're redefining what it is to be a woman and having, you know, the self-esteem and the self-confidence to speak up for ourselves and to have a voice. And that's why I love that you've created this book, because it's the things that we don't talk about, the things that are shameful, the things that stay hidden and secret, that really eat at us. And there's no transformation or change that happens when things are hidden. And when it finally comes out into the light, right, is when we can do it a little bit differently.
Well, yeah. And, you know, the light is, you know, that's a huge word in a lot of cases, because you said, you know, women live in fear, girls live in fear. And I think that these are the walls and the barriers that are being broken down, you know, now, is that there's no more fear. We've called you your bluff. Enough is enough. Now, I think this stuff's been going on since Adam and Eve, by the way. I don't think this is anything new.
No.
But, you know, I think that the way that women are and girls are approaching it now is something new. I really think that its time has definitely come, and that our young girls are going to be learning from what, you know, they're hearing and from their mothers and from what they're getting even on the news, because young girls are getting a lot more news than I got. That's for darn sure, you know, at their age. And then it's just not okay. It's not okay to do. Now, the one thing that we have to be careful about is that the pendulum, you know, when a pendulum swings way, way, way in one direction, sooner or later, it's going to come back down and swing way, way, way in that other direction. And, you know, there's supposed to be a good, happy, and healthy attraction between the male and the female. And I think that men are going, you know, going to be just petrified now as to what is right and what is wrong. And I think that they may need a little direction also. Let's not forget how many unscrupulous women there are. They're going to jump on this bandwagon. And, you know, how many women have cried wolf? So I think we need to keep everything kind of, let's just all take a deep breath, be really aware and mindful and treat it for what it is. But be also mindful that, you know, there might be a lot of people lying and stepping up just for the money that may be involved, which is an unfortunate, consequence of what's going on.
Yeah. And what's really coming to me is that nobody should have to live in fear.
Right.
Nobody should, not men, not women. I mean, we are all connected at the point of our humanness.
Right.
And it's really like you bring up a great point with the pendulum, because it's not right for it to then swing the other way. Right. Mm-hmm. And this only comes, like you said, from mindfulness and conversation and mm-hmm. openness, which, you know, we love to do on this show, because that's how we all learn and grow. And one of the things I was thinking about is, you know, some of the things that erode, self-esteem and confidence and stuff is not even, you know, we often talk about things, you know, like abuses or different things like that, that are really extreme. Mm-hmm. And those certainly affect somebody's self-confidence and self-esteem and how they see themselves.
Right.
But there's also, I want to just talk a moment about the ones that are more subtle, because I feel like there's subtle things that go on for people that impact them so deeply, right? So maybe it's not, you know, physical abuse or sexual abuse, but maybe it's the way that someone is speaking to somebody, right?
Maybe bullying or teasing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That cuts deep. Cuts very deep.
That is passed off as, oh, it was just a joke, or, oh, what I mean? That's not that big of a deal.
Right.
And if you had a phenomenon where people said me too to that, that's probably everybody.
Yeah, so, of course.
Really. And so it's thinking about, you know, the ways that we allow people to interact with us, right? And the ways that we interact with other people, mm-hmm. because, you know, I've seen in my practice that sometimes the most subtle of these ways that we attack each other mm-hmm. is just as harmful as the things that we see as more tragic. Mm-hmm. And yet it's all the same thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I know that the teasing thing and you know, but there's teasing. There's two thoughts that come to mind. Teasing can be done with total viciousness and maleficence, or it can be done with a lot of love and a hug. I mean, it depends. I think there's it's the intention with which things are said. And certainly the words that are used that cannot cut like a knife. So yeah, the conversation, you know, it's one of those kind of things where, you could be here all day just, you know, cutting down all the little, you know, ramifications of every little thing that was done or said to you. You know, at a certain point too, I think you have to get a little bit of a thicker skin. People really need to just buck up a little bit and realize that a lot of the bullying that's going on is because the person that's bullying is living in some sort of weakness and some sort of lack, right? And so, you know, we have to, and that's really hard when you're 8 years old on the school ground to figure that one out. But I think that sooner we can, you know, impregnate our children's minds with these kinds of thoughts. Well, you know, too bad that he's got to feel good about himself, but making somebody else feel bad. Yeah, not a good thing, you know? And so I think that's totally, you know, but one of the first things you need to be telling kids is that that's not okay. And that the second thing is, and again, really hard for an 8-year-old to figure out and to wrap his head around is, or her head around is, you giving them the power. You know, if you're going to be hurt by something that they've, now, if it's physical abuse, that's one thing, you know, but if it's the mental abuse, brush it off. And with the thought in your mind, always, something wrong with them, nothing wrong with me, because I'm not running around belittling everybody. I don't do that. That's not in my heart. Their heart is hurt. If they're doing that, their heart hurts.
Yeah.
You know, so,
And it's interesting because we talk about the word like, oh, we should have high self-esteem, or, oh, that person has low self-esteem. And yet it's something that's like not tangible as far as, okay, well, how do I build my self-esteem? Right.
And you mentioned,
you know, giving to other people, which is an awesome way to do that.
Right.
But what are other ways, like if someone wants to, you know, read your book and start to work on their self-esteem, how do we get that going?
Well, Well, first of all, you know, first of all, I really like to break it down into just to those four simple steps. And they're not the only steps, but certainly the ones that I find to be the most important. So we talked about the greater good, and there are so many ways that you can do something good for somebody. I mean, we don't have, you know, to expand upon that. We know what they are. Look good is I think one of the quickest ways. I mean, there's sometimes it's something as simple as, you know, a new haircut, a new dress, the wearing the right color, something perfectly proportioned to your body to just give you a little lilt in your step, and you feel a little special about the way you look when you look in the mirror. I love also mirror work, mirror therapy, and that is to, you know, find your mantras, pull them out. What do you need in this moment? And go ahead and talk to yourself in the mirror for 2-3 minutes every day. I tell you, it's life-changing when you do something like that. It's you talking to your own self-conscious while you're looking at yourself. It's very quick, it's direct, and it's so impactful. That's another one of the things. I do a lot of things also with self-care. And sometimes it's just something as, you've been to my house, so you know that.
Yeah.
You know, I love a good diffuser. I just absolutely love beautiful soft music in the background. I love when I can open the doors here in Phoenix, Arizona, which only happened a few days ago. You know,
yeah,
my incense is just, you know, it's just lilting through the house, not heavily, but just that enough that you go, oh wow. I try to create I try to create a Zen atmosphere, just something really, really pretty to live in, to work in, and that to me. I love long, luxurious baths, and I make sure that I get them. Probably have some Epsom salts in there to help detox. Just these little things that I, you know, that I can do as far as self-care is concerned just make me feel so darn good about myself. You know, those little things. The feel good is so important. You know, as you well know, diet, exercise, nutrition, getting the right nutrition for you, because again, there's not a one size fits all when it comes to dieting or when it comes to eating. We all have, different blood types, and I don't know whether you believe in the blood types or not, but when I looked at my blood type and I saw everything that was written underneath and I went, yep, that's me. I'm not a meat eater. I'm total vegetable, you know, that sort of thing. And so really, really important. The other thing is brain health. There's so much information now that we never had before coming out about brain health. The direct correlation, especially as we get older, to hormone and hormonal imbalances. Look, I'm no doctor. Believe me when I tell you, and I can only talk to you from experience. And that experience is I really went through a little bit of a rough time coming through the change. Whereas my mother didn't have an issue, never had a problem, sailed through it. I had no one to ask. So I had to go through, you know, all of the different, information that I could find, my doctors and the like, to make sure that I was going to be able to get through this without becoming a screaming meanie and driving myself and everybody else around me nuts, you know?
Yeah.
And you know well, because you work with women like this all the time.
Yeah.
My sister has just come to me and she's, I don't know what's wrong. I'm all over the place. Now, my sister is all right. I went into menopause at 47. I was done in, you know, like immediately almost. I mean, not immediately, 6 months. So I was basically coming up on 48. I was early. Okay. My sister is now 51. She's just now maybe thinking she's getting started. And she's coming to me with all these symptoms and I keep saying, go get your blood work done. You know? Oh my God. Go get your blood. I think it's, you know, she just doesn't want to hear that it's hormones, you know? So I get trying to get her to open her ears. These little things are, you know, that your body is talking to you every minute of every day.
Yes.
For me, as we've discussed before, and you know, I'm a celiac and I found that out the hard way. I mean, one more time in an ambulance and being whisked off to the emergency room just wasn't in the plan. And so I had to figure it out. Thankfully, a friend of mine did figure it out. It was gluten. Came off of gluten. My life has changed dramatically. And that doesn't mean, look, gluten doesn't mean you have to have these kind of reactions, by the way. Gluten can be very pervasive and different in a much smaller scale. You know, bloating and headaches. And, you know, you can speak to this much better than I can. Sugar, total sugaraholic. I was born a sugar baby. They have crack babies. They have opioid, but, you know, I was born a sugar baby. Okay. So, and then I was at 4 months old. My mother couldn't breastfeed or didn't like the whole breastfeeding thing. So I was weaned on my grandmother's iced tea, which looked like Aunt Jemima's syrup for how dark it was and how thick it was. And that was what was in my bottle at 4 months old. So I, and of course they were like, oh, she's such a hyper child. Oh, she's such a, oh, shut up. I was sugared out. You know, you guys are giving me such a much stuff. And of course, back in the day, we didn't know. And everything had sugar in it. Your tea, your coffee.
Sure.
You know, sugar. We had sugar on our sugar-coated cereal. So and there was always soda in the house and there were always desserts, always. So sugar I had to come off of completely. And I tell you, in my late 50s, that was like really coming up because sugar is considered a grade A drug. If it were to be introduced today, it would be introduced as a grade A drug. And its molecular structure is one iota off of what cocaine's molecular structure is. So sugar back off, way off. Now, we all love a good glass of wine. And I'm, you know, I'm not poo-pooing that, but any more than that, we've got to be really careful, as you know, because alcohol is extremely toxic, not only to the body, but to the brain, by the way, so is sugar. Anyway, what I guess the point is, you know, your physical health, what your body is telling you, you know, may have just very simple fixes if you come off of things that we really were not supposed to be eating.
Yeah, it's true. And it literally can change. I mean, how this relates to self-esteem is fascinating because it can change the way you think,
everything,
the way you perceive life, right? The way you see yourself. And then certainly if we're not putting good stuff in our body, it's really hard to feel good.
Well, do you know how much easier it is to fall into depression when you've got,
you've got weak gut?
Yeah.
Well, I have a personal story about that. I talk about it on the show. I used to think that my personality was just somewhat depressed, right? When I didn't eat well, I just thought that was who I was. And then when I changed my diet, I literally was like, oh my gosh, I have to relearn who I am. I don't even know myself in this way, because it was like someone took a cloud off of my head and I could see the sun. And and so we think we are certain ways, and it's literally just because our body isn't getting what it needs.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is going to affect your confidence and your self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? For sure.
We don't think about it, right? We just don't think about that. And so, yeah, that's a super important.
Yeah.
So what was the third pillar?
Oh, and by the way, and with that, obviously, super anxiety. So anxiety, depression kind of slash in that same family. Yeah. And a whole other host of things, by the way, but these are the ones that had affected me the most, the anxiety, depression, and, you know, and everything I've mentioned up until now, or basically all due to bad, you know, nutrition.
Yep.
Or poor nutrition.
It matters.
Yeah.
It matters.
Yep. Yeah. So look good, feel good, be good. Okay. So be good, could be, you know, again, where am I getting my news? Who am I listening to? Who are my friends? Do I have the strength to create boundaries? Boundaries is a huge one. I watch people struggle with boundaries all the time. And, you know, I am not the most popular kid in school. You know, I'm not, I never was. I'm not the most popular kid on the block. And it was because I always had, first of all, I had very little time for silliness. I never really did, but I really have set in my life very good, strong boundaries. There is a certain way you can and cannot talk to me. There is a certain way you can and cannot treat me. Yes. There are things now that doesn't matter to me anymore, how much you do or you don't like me. I mean, I wish you did. It would be great if you did, because that, you know, it certainly makes me kind of feel good. But if you don't, I'm really sorry.
Well, and Clarissa, you know what? It's like that, those boundaries are why you've been so successful in your life, and it hasn't eroded you, right? Like, some people experience the success you've experienced in an industry that's very hard.
Yes.
And it literally takes over their life and takes them down eventually because they don't have those boundaries. And I really believe that that's why you've been able to be successful for so long and have this incredible life that you've lived, because you've been able to say no when you needed to.
Yeah. I've always been pretty darn strong that way. Now, again, you know, people people get mixed in the mire of saying, well, you know, I just want to get everybody to get along, and I just really want people to like me, and I don't want to anger anyone, and I don't want to piss somebody off. And well, okay, then they're going to treat you the way they want to treat you and not the way you want to be treated. So my big, one of my big, you know, pushes with the whole self-esteem regime is if they're not treating you the way you want to be treated, if it doesn't feel good to you, then they don't need to be in your body. If they are in your life, if they are not supporting you, they're not supportive and loving and caring. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean every once in a while somebody can, you know, there might be a little confrontation, or somebody might say, you know, might want to offer up some advice or counsel. Doesn't mean you have to take it. Doesn't mean you have to take it. Now, by the way, and in all of that, don't become so self-righteous that, you know, you're not open to anything and anybody, and you're, because that doesn't work either. You want to keep yourself a little bit malleable, a little pliable, but you definitely want to make sure that it feels good. Look, if it hurts, it isn't love. If it hurts, it's not friendship.
Yeah. That's a great litmus
great
test
rule.
Because,
great
well,
rule.
And the truth is that it's different for everybody, right? So it's perfect that you're saying, like, if it doesn't feel good to you, like, mm-hmm. it could feel okay to somebody else. That's not your mm-hmm. business, right?
Right.
You have to look inside and say, does this feel, is this person treating me in a way that feels right to me? Because sometimes people will tell you, oh, it's fine, I talk to everybody this way, or, oh, why is it bothering you? You know, mm-hmm. but it's not. It's, we all have our own litmus test of what right. is right for us.
Right. And, you know, when you're young and in certain types of situation, you are obviously learning from those that are older than you. And therefore, they might have taught you already at an early age how to perceive yourself.
Yes.
So therein lies the conundrum. When you are of an age, there's invariably going to be something that happens in your life. There's going to be a turning point. Something is going to happen that's going to make you, it turns you from a girl into a woman and from a boy into a man. And that's the point right there that you have decided if you're going to stay the path or if you're going to change your ways and change your thought processes and change your core beliefs. The core beliefs, by the way, that were basically implanted in
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot. Look, it's a bit of work. It is not always the easiest thing, but, you know, again, my sub brand is called Envelop Her. And so envelop, you know, basically is if you envelop yourself and you just hug yourself. I didn't want to call it hug her. I called it envelop her. And so it's that love of self, that constant love of self. It doesn't mean you're not going to have a bad day. It doesn't mean, you know, sometimes things are going to go sideways, but it means that at the center, at the core of your being, you are loving yourself and loving others. You know, I've created a chocolate line. And the chocolate line was originally going to be the Envelop Her process. We're going to come out with Clarissa Burt first, but after that, we're coming out with Envelop Her. And they're going to be little thin wafers. And the first wafer says, envelop me. And the second one says, envelop another, which means with this chocolate, I can eat this chocolate because it's for me. And if I pull one out that says envelop another, I have to give it away.
Oh, that's awesome.
To someone else. Yeah. So it was just kind of a kitschy, but catchy little thing that I thought might be really cool because we all love chocolate and we love to share. You know how you walk around a party with a box of chocolate sometimes at the end of a dinner. And
yeah. Oh, I love that. That is so cool. So touch on the fourth pillar. Really
the greater
quickly.
Good. The fourth yeah. pillar is the greater good. And that's where, okay. yeah, that's where you give back. That's where you tithe. It's where you volunteer. It's where you pay it forward. It's where you, again, like you said before, you step out of yourself and you do something, you know, that's going to make somebody happy. You know, that's going to honest to God, it's as simple as holding the door open at a store for a woman that's coming in with a baby carriage, or, you know, helping her up the stairs or down the stairs with that baby stroller, or, you know, all you have to do is walk out your door and there are a plethora of things that can be done. And sometimes it's as silly, honestly, and this has really nothing to But I'll be on my morning walk and I'm out there picking up the trash and throw it in the garbage receptacles. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do the same thing.
You know, and I think at that, first of all, it's a little love for the earth, which is silly really to say, because I'm only displacing the plastic from one place to another. But
it matters.
It does matter. And it also matters for those who are going to walk, you know, that are walking behind me or maybe exactly. I'm half a mile down the road, that they don't have to encounter what would look like an otherwise, you know, a situation in disarray. You know, of course, I'm like this trashy. We don't live in a trashy place, and we don't, you know, that's not the way we would want to. So it's taking pride also in your environment, not only in yourself. Yeah, the way you look, the way you present yourself. You know, people will always remember the way you've treated them.
Yes.
Right? Right? And sometimes you're going to do things that they're never going to know. Because the guy half a mile down the road from me, when I picked up that, you know, plastic and put it, he's never going to know I did that. But I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So look, I'm not a goody two-shoes, honest to God. I'm just trying to just make a better world for myself. And for those around me. Do I fall short at times? Yeah, I do. Do I get stressed sometimes? Mm-hmm, I sure do, just like everybody else, I think. But
yes,
I definitely am much more mindful now than I was 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
And it's that wonderful intention that matters, right? It's mm-hmm. It's the realness, the authenticity of saying, yeah, I don't always get it right, but it's putting it out there, right? And keep showing up to it and showing up to it. And we're not supposed to always get it right, right? That's not the journey. So I love that. Why don't you share where people can find out more about you?
Well, you know, me, it's at clarissaburt.com. And we've got the e-commerce piece that's I'm really proud of. But it's not online yet, but we are going to be opening at the end of this month. And that is clarissaburt.shop. And so there you will find the four pillars: look good, feel good, be good, greater good. This is under my beauty and lifestyle brand. And I have chosen things that are either in my name or in other brands that are things that do help us look better, feel better, be better, and live a greater good. So the Live a Greater Good is taking the charge for charity, and I help charities raise money. They don't have no out-of-pocket for them. They just have to send me their artwork. I get it all printed on things that we have pre-chosen together. And then I promote, they promote, we sell through my site, and you start making money for your charity.
Oh, I love that you do that. That's so cool. Yeah. I'm gonna spread that word. And you know what? We'll put this live after that's already live so people can go direct and see all of this stuff that you're launching. So we're doing this interview in November, but we will wait till you have that and we'll debut it with you and put this live around that time. And we'll share all the links so people can go right there and make use of all of the great stuff that you've been creating.
It's wonderful. We're in testing phase now. It's all up and running. I mean, if you went to it now, you could see it, but we're just doing the tests to make sure that all systems are a go. And then we'll, but I love it. You know,
exciting.
The charity piece is really cool. You know, I've got right now Bridget's Path, which is going for the babies that are being born to the opioid epidemic. We've got Bathe to Save, which is for animal shelters, animal rescues. And then Ron Heggie, who does wall art. He became a paraplegic when he was in a surfing accident. And so he paints beautiful artwork with his mouth. And I've got many others that are on the line and we're preparing, but I will be promoting them 1 month at a time. They will be the charity of the month. And I'm really excited about it.
Clarissa, you are greater good. You have the heart to share. And that's what I just love and connected with in you. And I think it's so exciting. And I can't wait to share it with everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so cool. And everything that you do is with the greatest intention.
Thanks.
And you... Yeah, no, it's incredible. And people are going to love this book and they're going to love all of this that you have to offer. So we will be directing people there so they can check it all out.
And wonderful.
Before we close out, I have four questions that I ask at the end of every interview, and the answers are always extraordinary and different and wonderful. Okay. And it's based on my proprietary process called the Anatomy of Transformation. And there are four pillars in that process as well. It's a four pillar day.
Okay.
And so the first pillar is called truth. truth. And I really believe that the truth heals, and that when we can get to the truth of who we are, we can get to the those truths that lie deep inside of us sometimes that we maybe are afraid to acknowledge or haven't seen within ourselves yet, that when we get to those and we can express them, that there's just huge healing that happens from that. So what is a deep truth that you've discovered along your path that really kind of transformed things for you?
One of the most important things for me and in my truth is to live in integrity, to always be honest with others. You know, I'm not big on liars. I just don't dig that energy. And so, you know, I'm rather black and white when it comes to things like this. And it's just not, you know, what I think is truth. And obviously lying is not. But liberally living in integrity, I think, is the thing that is the most important to me.
I love that. And you are that you, everything about you just speaks that even beyond the words that you speak. So that's super cool. And it's very important. And the second pillar is called release. And when we start discovering some deeper truths within ourselves, there's usually things that need to be released from our lives. And sometimes that can be people, literally, ways that we're living. It can be belief systems. It can be fears. It can be all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. What is something that you powerfully released from your life?
That I wasn't good enough.
That's one of my favorites.
Well, yeah, I think that's a big one for a lot of people. I'm not good enough. You know, I'm not good enough. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not. And I just realized that, you know, who was I to be deciding whether I was good enough or not? And wasn't really going to give that power to anybody else either. It's just, I am who I am. And I'm here for the reason that I'm here for. And it's supposed to play out the way it's supposed to play out. I'm giving it my all, the greatest I can give it. And that's kind of as simple as it gets. I just try to simplify everything anymore. I don't try to get too, you know, complicated.
I love that. And you know, what's interesting is that, you know, I'm not good enough is something that I think people think that it will go away if I achieve something, or it will go away if I do this, or if I'm able to accomplish this.
Yeah.
And really that doesn't happen, right? Because you've accomplished all kinds of things more than, you know, a lot of people in the world. Mm-hmm. It really has to be something you come to and work on and release. Mm-hmm. It's not because you make it to some point that you decide, you know, if I get here, if I do that. And sometimes you like to think that other people don't have that running under the surface because they have accomplished something or because they are here in their life.
Yeah.
And it's really just because you've done the inner work.
Yeah. And the other, you know, I think the other piece to this also is, you know, don't compare yourself to others.
Yes.
It's such an easy thing for us to do. And we slide down that slippery slope so easily. I think especially, I don't know if it's especially women, I guess guys do the same thing, but, you know, we're all so tied up and we're not where we were supposed to be yet. We haven't really gotten it. I do that at times, you know, I haven't done enough yet. I really want to do more and there's only so much time in the day. And then I go, everything's happening with a divine plan and a divine purpose. So, you know, I've let a lot of that go. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the third pillar is called experience. And what happens when we start to release these things that have kind of held us back is we start to experience life in new ways. So it can be new people coming into your life. It can be new, you know, ideas, new creations that you have.
Yep.
What are you birthing and experiencing out of releasing I'm not enough?
One of the things that I don't know if this is going to be the answer to the question. One of the things that I really have done is to stop with the bright, shiny object syndrome and to slow down, take a deep breath and focus. And for me, the sugar addict, you know, the ex-sugar addict, this was not an easy thing for me to do. And I did about 18 months ago, I just stopped and I couldn't do, but I was traveling all the time and in the car all the time and at the airport all the time and getting running and going into. And I just stopped and I started to build. And when I started to build what it was I wanted to in my life, beauty and lifestyle brand, you know, paired with the whole media piece, that it just everything started to come together. And I started to get gifted with some of the most amazing things I mean, just out of the woodwork, all these gifts were coming. And the next thing I know, most of the pieces of the puzzle were coming together. There are still a couple that are out of place, but when you really focus in on what it is you want, in fact, I have something right now on the, on my refrigerator, door, and I'm just going to go a little bit closer to it so I can read it for you. Because every once in a while I'll find a quote and I'll just put it up here and leave it for a little while. It says, get so fixated on what you want that you drown out any vibration or reverberation that has nothing to do with what you do not want.
I love that.
It's, you know, it's nothing new under the sun, but it's kind of, you know, those kind of things that I find, print out, and keep. That's another really great thing that I do as well. I get a lot of motivational quotes as newsletters in the morning, you know, newsletter things that come through with motivation.
Yes.
Yeah. Cause I get my day started with all this really, this like surge of really great positive energy and thinking.
Yes. I love that. And that brings us to the fourth pillar, which is align, which is when you start to experience life in new ways, you start to align yourself with different things, right? And part of that is your quotes that you're doing. You're aligning your energy every morning. But what else have you aligned yourself with?
Well, for sure, the quotes I do. Before I get out of bed in the morning, I start with my mantras, which are very simple mantras. You know, all of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. Universe, what else is possible? And how does it get any better than this? And so these are some of the phrases that have been coined by Access Consciousness, Gary and Dana, friends of mine. But you know, just some of those very simple and easy, very simple and easy. I've cut, here's the one big thing I did is I've cut out mostly all drama. All drama, people that bring drama, you know, the high energy, you know, yelling, screaming, anger, all that stuff that used to be, you know, a part of my life. Not huge, but you know, some. Yeah, no more. I haven't done that for a very long time. I have in my back room. I don't know if you saw that when you were here. I think you did. But there's, you know, I have the cajons on in one angle, and I have this, you know, the vision boards.
Yes.
One is the spiritual, and one is the physical. I have all my angel cards. I've got my crystal grids. I've got all these things that, you know, I don't know. I'm not down there every day, you know, staring at this stuff. But it's there, and I've created it. And it's, again, these are the more things that help you align with. Every once in a while, I'll go back, I'll pick a deck, you know, I've got a couple decks of the angel cards, and I'll go ask, you know, what's going on? What am I feeling? What am I hearing? What do I need to know? Kind of things. And so, you know, just get some instant, and look, I tell you.
I love it. You don't have to explain any further.
Yeah. Okay.
Your language.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it's anything that, you know, it connects us, right?
Yeah,
to the divine, connects us to co-create with, you know, greater source energy and understand. I mean, that's just, I think we're heading into a time where that's just real. You know what I mean? That's just, people are doing this and connecting, and why shouldn't we, right? Why should we feel alone on the journey trying to do it all ourselves when there's, you know, really pure consciousness that we can tap into and help
it. I've been an 11er forever, you know, I mean.
Oh, hello.
Popping up out of everywhere.
Numbers just talk to me. Numbers.
Yeah, numbers. They do. The numbers are talking to me. I live, you know, in my backyard. I just have bobcats in my trees all summer long. I've got coyote that sort of saunter by. There's, I'm looking at bunny rabbits right now. I've got a family of owls that live on my railing out back. It's just this kind of, you know, it's my house seems to be the one place on the block where all the animals come to. And I know that's because there is good, happy, healthy, positive energy, you know, being emitted from this house. And that's just such a joy to watch as well. These are the things I think, look, I'm getting older. Maybe that has something to do with it as well. I enjoy the things that I didn't notice at an earlier age. And so I just urge those that are a little younger to listen, take heed, listen to the old folks.
You're not old. Come on. You know what it is? When you do, it's like when you're 20 and you're running around, like you miss everything. And when you start to connect at a deeper level, which I think happens when we're a little bit older for most of us, you just start to see the wonder in the littlest things.
Yep.
you don't need this grandiose, like, you know, in fact, you kind of shy away from that a little bit more. And you see this beauty in the miracles that are around us all the time. And you have gratitude for that, right? And and because you have that gratitude and that high energy, you call in more of it. And more beautiful stuff comes into your life. And I think that, you know, there's just so much right now. You are starting to grow something new and beautiful, and it's just going to really explode and grow. And I'm so happy to support it, and so to be able to watch it and celebrate with you, because you're a force of nature. You're an incredible woman.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And so thank you so much for sharing. You're the best. I just love you.
Oh, thank you.
I do.
And we love each other.
Oh, I know. It's like a love fest, you and I, all the time. Which is beautiful. We're just spreading the love to everybody else.
Yeah. Awesome.
And we'll share all of your links and stuff. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on again. I hope to see you again real soon.
Yeah, let's do
it. It's time for a hug.
It is. Thank you so much, Clarissa.
All right, love. Be good. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Let's talk about taking some serious action. If you're new to the Take Action section, we take a new action each week to move closer to our intentions. So our Take Action item this week is to go out of your way and give to someone you don't even know. You know, giving is a very high frequency and will fill your heart and boost your self-confidence in wonderful ways. If you haven't downloaded the guided meditation, you can get it at downloadmiracles.com. And I can't wait to hear what it's like when you start giving unexpectedly to people. So you can always email me what happens when you do this at info@shaunaekedahl.com. I will meet you back right here next week with more positive vibes and powerful awakenings. Sending you so much love and wishing you a fabulous week ahead.